Each time tunnel has different configurations. The objective is basically the same. At the end of the night, my idea is that the people will have experienced a lot of information. The way that we travel from one time and space to the next is by the way of a huge spiral, and to display music from our past, possible music from our future, to kind of make some sense of how it relates to the music that we listen to and we understand today. When you travel space, you know, you don't just go from Earth to Mars, but what you have to do is that because of the rotation of the solar system, the universe, and the Milky Way, you have to spiral. This is really the form in which you travel throughout space. Something that might have happened 200 years ago in a very ancient form of dance or dance ritual is very much related to how we socialize and how we get together to listen to music today. That the difference is not so far, and it's just to bring things again to people's attention of how we communicate through sound and also through dance. Hundreds of years ago, we danced specifically for reasons, very practical reasons. And that though it may seem like it may just be for entertainment today, the truth is that deep down in the process, it's very much the same. We do this to communicate, to engage one another for reasons that are far beyond the dance floor, far beyond the genre of dance music. So we'll start off with the era of 1987, where the rave culture was just beginning to solidify and was growing and spreading around from one country to the next. And in it was a certain type of language that was being developed that we could communicate, and that the genre of techno music and electronic music would use this universal language to spread even more in the following years, in the preceding years after 1987. So for the first segment, we start at the beginning of this revolution, and had anticipated that there might be many people in the audience that can remember that era in context, that they were, you know, in their late teens and their early 20s. And to hear some of this material would bring back a rush of memories that would almost instantly put people in this time warp type of feeling, that you hear something that you had not heard since 1987, 1988, and that a rush of memories would then give you this dated type of feeling, and it would be easier to move on from one segment to the next after that. From 1987, we then jump all the way back to the year 1910. We focus primarily on the work of, in terms of inspiration, from George Méliès. And there was a very iconic image from one of his films where the characters in the film journey to the moon. And there's a very, very iconic image of the moon with a face in it and his spacecraft, how they land in the eye of the moon. And it was that image that I thought would be quite representative of how this segment would be, or what it would feel like.
So what I was hoping to have in terms of lighting is almost like a type of lighting for like a live performance, basically, or like a very monotone type of, so okay. all the color goes off. So
it's okay. Only white?
White, yeah.
And dark.
A low white.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of us, the moon is probably someplace that we will probably become more familiar with in our future, as we'll go back to the moon for particular, you know, reasons to mine, to explore more. So going back in order to be able to learn something in which we may deal with in the future, I thought is a very unique type of way of taking a few steps back before we get very far and deep into the other segments of the night. We then jumped from 1910 all the way to 1973. And this is one of the most interesting eras that we explore during the night. It is 1970, 71, 72, 73, 74, you know, we were still going to the moon. There were still regular missions from NASA. People were just beginning to feel the effect, the gravitational pull of the turn of the century, of the year 2000. This is where it was just beginning to start, where technology were leaving the laboratories of the scientists and the inventors and the designers, and they were really making these type of technologies, these early technologies like the pocket calculator and the LCD watch and all these things, were just really beginning to make their presence in the public. And so it kind of gave us and the, you know, the people the sense that these were the items, these were the things that would be part of our future. So it was starting to give people the sense that something, you know, the world is beginning to change, that the things that we had known for decades, you know, were beginning to be reinvented. So the way that we look at time, not with hands, but actually numbers that change, you know, you know, we could talk to each other mobily on cellular phones, you know, that you could have a phone in your car was something that was amazing, you know, that you could drive and speak to someone. And so it gave this sense that that our world was about to change. Thank you. were dancing in this way because it was some type of notion that man and machine at some point would become one. I guess singularity, I suppose. We were showing that we were embracing this new change, and that the way that we dance is somehow symbolizing what we were expecting to come. The idea comes from a TV show in America in 1966 called The Time Tunnel, where I also took the name from for this concept. And it was a TV show where these characters would travel through a spiral, a wormhole, or whatever, and they would time travel to places in the past in order to try to alter the past, try to alter the future by readjusting the past, or informing people, or changing the scenario in the past to alter the future. We go from 1973 to the year 9999. To explain how I had imagined the segment, I thought that maybe it would be interesting to create a scenario in which we're kind of questioning our existence, basically, and so the black hole would be something that perhaps maybe. Our reality is something that's caught up in the pool of a black hole, and that perhaps maybe our time is actually limited.
I need very little light, almost no light at all. Okay. I'm not sure how much you can shut off. Can you shut off everything?
So that segment is basically the journey from now or the things that we know to the point of the center of the black hole. It was, just a few months after the end of the war was officially declared, but it was not so long ago for those people in '46 to still very much, clearly remember how the world was just, a year or two before then, and so I would imagine in 1946. People had perhaps a different appreciation for what music could do, the type of joy that it could bring, and that in it there was a certain forms of celebration and rejoicing. Quite appreciative of how it brought people together you know, in that short time after the end of the war. Soldiers were coming back from Europe, coming back from different parts of the world, coming back home. In particular, in New York and in America and at the Savoy, you know, you would have to imagine that black soldiers were coming back from the front lines to a country that had not changed so much. So there was the dilemma, you know, you're fighting for the freedom of other people, but then you come back and the country is still segregated for the most part. So so music, I would imagine, was greatly embraced. And so so I wanted to focus on, in particular, this location, the Savoy in Harlem. Hundreds of people would line up and show up and get inside. And the Savoy was a very spacious location. And it, you know, I think it was probably one of the very early places that we could probably very directly connect what we do and how we do it today to this location. And I think this is where everything that we know today probably starts from this location at that time. And so I wanted to draw those direct links between that. If something's going to happen to the Earth and we need to migrate to another Earth-like type of planet, maybe by 4067, it will happen.
Du vent qui veut comme effet, comme une piste d'atterrissage d'avion.
Meteorite strikes the Earth, the atmosphere, the ozone layer depletes to the point where we can't control the temperature from the sun, the flashes from the sun. Perhaps maybe a good portion of the land of the land mass dries up. Anyway, the Earth becomes uninhabitable to stay here, and that the need to leave Earth to another Earth-like type of planet may become necessary by 4067. We go all the way to the year 55,000. It's so far ahead that I couldn't even imagine a location or a place. That I think that if we're lucky to be able to survive that long and evolve that long, we probably will have reached a point where location and time is not even that important. It's just beyond imagination.